Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is good to be here, especially on a day like this. The Lord's Day. It is good to be here. You know, Moses in our text today had to wear a veil when he spoke to the Israelites, or when he walked around it. He removed it when he went in before the Lord. Why? Because they were terrified. What is wrong with him? And then the Apostle Paul tells us that when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And Peter in our gospel said that, Lord, your glory shines like the sun. And Peter exclaims, it is good, Lord, to be here. Today we sing this. We sing this song, 'tis good, Lord, to be here. Thy glory fills the night. Thy face and garments like the sun shine with unborrowed light. For the glory of the Lord is indeed present here today. Moses had to wear that veil because, well, the people were terrified. And why were they terrified? They knew that Moses had seen God. Why should that bother them? Their minds and their hearts had been hardened by the law. What Moses came down from the mountain with was the law of God. And they already knew the law of God. They knew that it was wrong to kill someone. They knew that God demanded to be the only God. They knew that it was wrong to cheat on your spouse. Their hearts and their minds had been hardened. So the presence of God himself in the words alone coming from Moses, whose face was lit up like who knows what, this terrified them. People were afraid of God because they knew the law. It's kind of like me walking into Walmart with my collar on and boom, it's like the Red Sea is parting because no. Nobody wants to talk to the guy in the collar. He's going to talk about the law. What I have to do. But that's not true anymore. The people and Moses, they thought God and his glory hid behind the veil. For years and years and thousands of years, the people thought the glory of God was hidden behind a veil. The people weren't allowed to go into the Holy of Holies because that's where the chief priests were allowed to go. Because inside there, behind that curtain, was the glory of the Lord. Because of the veil that covered it. And they feared God and his messengers. They feared even the messengers of God, much like me and walking around town in my collar. There are many people here in Columbia City that say hi and welcome you, and they're very friendly, knowing, you know, that the good Father is walking around with it to see the folks. But why do people fear God? Because they know the law. Because their minds and their hearts have been hardened. And they know about the wrath of God. People know about heaven and hell. So their hearts and their minds became hardened. So is today any different? Today, is it any better? anyone looks into the very face of God, you will die. But we have hope. Well, we have more hope than those who say, hey, this is all there is. Live life to the fullest. This life, here and now, live it for what it's worth. Because this is all there is. Baloney! We have hope. We have eternal life. We have a life everlasting. We can't even comprehend how long that is. How long is everlasting life? I hope to live at least another 25, 30 years. But after that, I have hope. I have joy. I have comfort of everlasting life with God in paradise, in heaven. Their only hope, those Israelites, the people of Moses' time, their only hope was to fulfill the law. Their only hope was, I hope I'm good. I hope I do what's right. That's why we got these scribes and these Pharisees and these chief priests, because they'll tell us there's a lot to the law. And their only hope was to fulfill that. Well, good luck with that one, huh? We can't even keep 10 of them. So they were terrified. How can man, how can mankind, how can you and I hope to achieve such righteousness as to live in the glory of God, to see Him face to face? How can we hope to do that? Job hoped the very same thing. You know, many doubt. Many have doubts that they can achieve such glory. Many doubt that I'm not going to church. Their hearts are hard because they know the law of God. The law of God is written on the hearts of all men. This is the chief reason so many stay out of church. This is why in mission work, in evangelism work, you speak the gospel. That's why what you tell those who, what do you want to see here? What, you've got to come to my church. You've got to see what is taking place. You need to hear what is being said. The glory of the Lord is present here today. That's what you can tell them. Because all they know is the law. That's all the Israelites did. They didn't feel worthy. That's why Moses had to wear a veil. Peter, James, and John, in our text, they were terrified. They let Jesus hand them to take them up that mountain. You know what? When I was in Israel, I stood on this by Solomon's home. By Solomon's, not his temple, by Solomon's home is where he lived. And you overlook the Jezreel Valley. You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Miss Kathleen? You look over this Jezreel Valley, or Armageddon, the valley. And there's this one mountain that stands by itself. You can see this mountain all by itself, because there's only two in Israel that are all by themselves. And that's where Jesus went to be transfigured. So you come down the mountain, at the bottom of that mountain, right at the base of it, is the little town of Deborah. And then you go up another little hill, and there is Nazareth, where Jesus was born. So this very well could have been the mountain where Jesus was transfigured. And I stood there and I looked, and that's the first thing I thought of was, holy cow, Could you imagine how many people saw the glory of the Lord? So Jesus picked Peter, James, and John to go up there with him. And he shone like the sun. Moses and Elijah are with him. They were terrified. Because of the law in their hearts, they were still men. So me, you, all of us, we should be glad to be here. It is good to be here. The glory of the Lord is present here today upon this altar. You see right in the center of the altar right now? You know that there's a white napkin covering the chalice and the paten, the little plate that holds the body of our Lord and the chalice that holds the blood of our Lord. And it's covered with that white napkin. Do you know what the name of that is? That's the veil. And in a few moments, that veil will be lifted. And the glory of the Lord will shine. Now, how do we get to feel like righteous people? I mentioned that Job asked this very same question. How can a man be righteous before God? God, the head honcho. He made and sustains everything. He's righteous, holy, good, awesome, and powerful. Well, he is God. The world has all sorts of answers for this. Like, there's no God to be righteous for. Many don't even believe in a God. Some believe you just have to try really hard. Do your best and God will do the rest. God helps those who help themselves. Jesus saved me, now I have to live for him. Here's a good one. I have decided to follow Jesus. They're all nice to say, but they all fall short. We know that the only one man who was ever righteous before God, we know this man is the God-man, Jesus Christ. His righteousness is God's righteousness. He couldn't be anything other than righteous before God, but he bears our unrighteousness. He takes it as his own. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Whatever false human righteousness we have, Jesus bore it. All that we think is holy and righteous and good is nothing but a polluted garment, a filthy rag. That's the garment Jesus takes for himself. He wears it to the cross. He dies in it. And he leaves it laying in the tomb. Now you are with him. Now you are in him. He became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We no longer have our own righteousness, but that of Jesus Christ. He gives us his righteousness to wear at the holy font. All that Jesus did counts for you and for me. All that he suffered is credited to you and to me. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is ours. So how can a man be righteous before God? By yourself you can't. But in Jesus you are righteous before your heavenly Father right now. And with our hope, we will be on on the last day and for all eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.